We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. Welcome to the program. All right, so we start hour number two. Let me set you up really quickly. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Hour number three is going to be hell in a good way, but really, really impacted, jammed up. Cameron Bynum, a safety with the Vikings at 11:20 Pacific. Darius Slay, Eagles corner at 11:40 Pacific. I've got to find a way to get Alvin's Ionic week that was in. The Jungle Ionic ATP in. So what I'm saying to you is this is your hour. And we start this hour with one of our favorite segments of the entire week, Big Head Bets. If you are unaware, the Big Head, James Kelly, a member of the XR4TI. Not very educated. Not very articulate.
Winthrop.
But in a weird, strange kind of way, smart as hell. He's got a big head with lots of data within that head. And every Friday, we pick games against the spread. And then a lot of you do what we suggest, and sometimes you win, and sometimes you don't. And then you get pissed and you at us. Time for another edition of Big Head Bets with the big head himself, James Kelly. Head, what's cracking?
Not much, Jim. What's going on? I'm looking at my BlackBerry Curve in my
Your BlackBerry Curve. Yeah. Is it with that little trackpad or that little...
The track. I like the ball better, but the track.
Okay. Yep. All right. I like the ball, too. Mm-hmm. These were tiny. Listen, one order of business.
I had a ball.
Before we jump into these games, we need to educate the newbies and manage the newbies and let them know exactly how hard this is.
Okay.
And how it is, right? Those who know how hard the game is, and those who are new to it do not seem to understand, but it's not their fault, so we're here to quickly educate. When picking against the spread, head, especially in the NFL, what is considered a good hit rate? What percentage?
If you hit at 55%, you're winning the game. If you do that consistently, you're pretty damn good. So just over 52.5 to break even, but that 55%, era, that is damn good. 60 is incredible. 63, 64, 65 is pro stuff, especially in the NFL where it's harder, Jim, than any other sport because of the popularity and the parity of the sport. So I'd say 55%.
Okay, so why am I bringing this up? One, to educate the clones, and number two, like, what kinds of things do you hear if you go like 4-2 or even worse, 4-3, which would still be considered a good weekend?
Oh, 60%. They're done with me. I'm in a big slump. They're like, "Oh, you'll turn it around, big guy. You'll figure this thing out." So they at me all the time when I go 3-2.
And you're like, "Turn what around, man? I'm killing the game. I'm awesome."
That's what I said, man.
All right, so just keep that in mind. Not only are you not going to go 5-1 or 6-0 every single weekend, clones. There are guys that the head and I really, really respect, and they have weekends where they go 0-5, 0-7. So this is what happens. Don't come in here looking for a piece of us if we go 4-2. You're welcome. Thank us if that happens. Before I move on, do you have anything else to add to that?
Well, I mean, it's very true, right? I mean, you could take 10 weeks of the NFL season right now. We broke even once going 3-3. We lost last weekend, but we won every single other weekend. So that'd be 8 weeks we've won. And if you would parlay them all and get sloppy, you'd lose every single one of them. So exactly what you're saying, man. 6-0 is so freaking hard, but if you're stupid with your money, you could lose it.
All right, so don't be stupid with your money. Let's get at it. We're about to get smart. We're going to get down. Ravens at Chicago. First game, head. I never thought that I would say it, but the Ravens are at Chicago, and that's pretty much a must-win game for them. Here's something else I never thought that I would say. The Bears are somewhat dangerous with Justin Fields getting more and more acclimated. He's going to make mistakes, but he's going to make plays, big plays, and he is as electric as advertised. What is the number? How are you playing Bears and Ravens?
Did you see Matt Nagy, real quick, sorry. Did you see Matt Nagy's comments on taunting and how bad it was for the kids, Jim?
I did see that, but for those who did not, well, I don't want you to start talking further, but go ahead and give it a shot. Use your words, head.
I mean, the dude who scarred every single kid in the Windy City while singing about Penis and Cracker Jacks thinks taking two steps towards an opposing team's sideline is a bad example for the youth. I just found that extremely rich, so...
Bravo.
Matt Nagy. I'm going to miss
Bravo.
When he's
well
gone.
Done. Well done. You actually had a take and a line, and you set it up, and you delivered it, and you didn't butcher the English language or mispronounce anything. Well done, head.
And
by the way, good point. Good point. This guy's crying about taunting when he's the guy who was singing about Penis and Cracker Jacks?
That's exactly right, man. I'm going to miss him when he's gone.
Well said. All right, how about the game itself?
Okay, so the spread is -4 Baltimore, I see right now. Fields is playing better. Love him. Love him long term, but right now no one handles pressure worse than he does right now in the NFL. And outside of Buffalo, Baltimore has the second highest pressure rate in the NFL in getting after that QB. Also on offense, Baltimore was held under 100 yards rushing against Miami. They should have a big day on the ground against the Bears defense, who might be minus Khalil Mack again, and has allowed nearly 5 yards an attempt their last three games. Let's go against Pennis and Cracker Jacks. Baltimore minus -4.
All right, that's interesting because I can't believe I am about to say this, but I actually do like Pennis and Cracker Jacks and the Bears plus +4.5 at home. I already hate myself for doing it, but you know the old saying, do what you hate, and if you consistently do things you hate over the long haul, you're going to have a huge life. So I'm going to do something I hate. I'm throwing in with the Bears. I'll go against you on that one. Packers v. Vikings, one of the games of the day, one of the games I'll be talking about on the NFL Today on CBS Sunday. So I don't want to give up my angle completely. I will let you break it down. But let me just say this personally speaking, Head, the Vikings always seem to screw me. If I were to be playing games, they never go my way. I know it's not personal, but they always seem to jam me. Do you have any teams like this, Head? Like, every time I pick them, they lose. But if I get butthurt and I pick against them, they beat me. It happens every time. What about you? How do you see this game?
No, the Vikings. The Vikings is that team for me, man, and they do it all the time. So no matter how I hit them, they usually take my money. So, but this here, Jim, I think it actually surprised the line. It surprised a lot of people. Green Bay opened as a minus -2 favorite, but the money moved this pretty quick down to Green Bay at minus -1, and I think it is because the more that you look at it, it makes sense. Mike Zimmer is actually 10-3 as a home dog since he took over in 2014. Wow. That's a 76% clip that he hits in that role, but I'm going to take the Packers at minus -1, and I'll take them because of Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, and that defense. The Packers' D is playing incredible right now. Bringing in Joe Barry as their DC was an incredible hire, and they're getting better against stiffer competition. Their last 3 weeks against Kyler Murray.
You're not. Pick up the pace, dude.
Kyler Murray held him to 21 points. Pat Mahomes, 13 points. And Weird Russ, 0 points. That's 11.3 points against three legends the last 3 weeks. The Vikings do have weapons, though. This will be a challenge, but I think Aaron knows how important this is in the race at the NFC's top spot, and I think he's going to get it done against a Minnesota team who won't get blown out but always finds a way to lose a close game at home. Packers, minus -1.
Hey, Weird Head, stop Weird Russing. You don't need to do that. You don't need to editorialize like that. Hey, listen, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. I like that pick. I would take the Packers also, but just know this. Whenever I pick either side of the Vikings, the other thing happens.
I know.
So I'm taking the Packers. If you clones want to lock, take the Vikes, because I'm taking the Packers. All right, Saints at Philly. I still do not trust the Saints at quarterback, which is why I said bring in Phillip Rivers when Jameis Winston went down, dadgummit, but they didn't. I don't trust them at QB, but I do trust their defense, and I trust them going up against Philly. Now, don't get me wrong. Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni must be making them play rock, paper, scissors, duck, duck, goose, whatever the hell he's making them do. It's working because they are playing better. I don't hate them. I just don't like them enough to take them over the Saints. But then again, it does depend on the number, Head. What is the number? How are you playing it?
I just hit the Saints on WinBet at plus +2, Jim. They are road dogs here. And in this spot, under Sean Payton and without Drew Brees, they excel. The Saints have gone 8-0 against the spread as the underdogs without Brees the past three seasons, 8-0. And yes, the Eagles have found their offensive identity lately in running that football. Over the past three games, they've ran it in NFL most 41.3 times a game. But nobody stops the run better in the NFL than the Saints do. They limit opposing teams to an NFL best 3.1 yards per carry, and they are getting better, having allowed 2.5 yards per carry in their last three games. So this is a battle of each team's best here on that side of the ball, but I'll take the Saints plus the points in a close one.
All right, so WinBet has them plus +2, right?
Yes, exactly.
Good. Yep. Bengals v. Raiders. To me, Bengals v. Raiders is like the epitome of the NFL season. Like, you never know week to week, and there's almost no team that I can fully trust week to week. These are two great examples. At separate points of the season, I actually felt really good about both these teams, and I thought they both turned the corner, and they were playoff locks. But then the Raiders' season absolutely blew apart, and the Bengals are not who I thought they were, at least not of late. Personally, I can't fully buy into either one of them, but I trust the Raiders less than I trust the Bengals, even at home. What's the number? Who are you rolling with?
Yeah, you nailed it here, but for some reason, I actually expect both teams best this Sunday. Big game for both, sitting at 5-4 each, and both off a two-game losing streak. Very evenly matched here. The number is Cincy minus one, actually. I'll lay that point and take the Bengals. If they could handle the very good non-blitzing pass rush from the Raiders, they should win this football game. Joe excels at picking up the blitz and exposing defenses. Here, he won't see any of that, so that line has to hold the pocket. Expect the Bengals to mix in a heavy dose of Joe Mixon here. You can run on this Raiders defense. I also like the Cincy D line against Leatherwood and the boys. Cincy is a touch healthier. They're coming off a bye, and it's almost a must-win to me for Zach Taylor. He is 1-4 with additional rest against the spread. If he loses this game, he's in hot water, but I like the Bengals minus one.
Dude, why are you always all over Leatherwood?
It's the funniest thing ever.
You ride that guy hard, man. All right, Texans, okay, Bengals minus one. I like that, too. You and I are in agreement on everything except the first. Texans at Titans. What is a big head bet segment without hitting on one of the double-digit games? The Texans are ass. The Titans are, well, frankly, Head, I don't know about you. I'm not sure what they are. I have no idea how the Titans are doing what they're doing, because if you look at the metrics and you look at the analytics, there's no way they're as good as what their record says they are, but they are 8-2, and they find a way to get it done almost every single week. There's no doubt in my mind they slap the Texans, but can they do it to the tune of double digits? What's the number you see? How you playing it?
So I see Titans laying 10 here. Let's do that. Let's hit this. This could be a trap game. After all, the Titans did lose to the Jets earlier this year.
How did that happen, by the way?
I don't know. It's the NFL, right? But this defense has to have a heyday against this Houston offense, Jim. Houston ranks 32nd in yards per game and points by averaging 14.2 a game. That's, like, bad. And it's even worse on the road for the Texans offense, where they are averaging 7.6 points per game. 7.6. That is the definition of historic ass, dude. They are looking up at an Andrew Walter-led Raiders offense of 06. Jamarcus Russell's laughing at these guys and their inability to put points up. So, yes, this could be a trap game. But if the 8-2 Titans can't beat the Texans by more than 10 points at home, with that offense, they are not legit, and I don't care about the parity in the NFL. Let's go Texans to lose to the Titans. Titans minus 10 here.
Yeah, dude, just get that plane down. Just get that plane down. Hey, Head, remember last night when you and I were communicating back and forth about that game, and then all of a sudden you hit me with on iMessage, I might add. Did that old man just text us? I'm like, I don't know. I'm communicating with you, and I'm not looking at my phone. And there he was, man. What was your reaction when all of a sudden he creates a group chat to take credit for picking the game correctly?
A typical Ike, man. Never hear from him when he loses, but when he hits something good, when we didn't even ask him to weigh in on anything, here he is just flaunting it, just showing how great he is at this game.
Ike's not going to wait. Yeah. Ike's not going to wait to be asked. We know this about Ike. I mean, I almost respect it, but I don't.
It was even before the game ended, too, I think. He was, walking that thing off. So that's Ike for you right there.
Ultimate bat flip, little pirouette in the batter's box. Styling. Running around first base with his flap down. Running backwards after crossing second base.
Sliding into home plate. Cool in Ike's night. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so run it back. Lay it for those who are joining us late, and we will tweet this. Who are your picks this week?
Baltimore minus four at Pennis and Cracker Jacks. Green Bay minus one at Minnesota. Saints plus two at Philly. Cincy in Vegas minus one. And Titans minus 10 against Houston in that horrid offense.
I haven't done the math. How many games is that?
Five games.
Five?
Yep.
All right. Have a great weekend, Head. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
Five games. Like, if he and I and we went 4-1, that's an amazing weekend. If we went 3-2, we're taking that, clones, and we're going to be happy. I'm just trying to educate you. Like he said, if you can hit at 55%, you're doing well. If you hit at 60%, you are murdering the game. If you hit at 64 or 65%, you are a pro, a professional. The Head has been right around 60%. the entire year. Well, so you need to understand, don't be coming at us if we're 3-2. It's still a good day. 3-2, you take all day long. 4-1 is amazing. 5-0 is legendary. There are people that I respect immensely that will go 0-5, 1-4. It's a hard game, dog, but it's a fun game. It's a lot of fun. And my favorite thing about that is as long as you're playing with funds that you can afford to lose, all right, they don't start gambling things that are above and beyond your means. But as long as you can afford it, there is a communal aspect to it. We're all in it. We're watching the same games. We have action on the same game. You all have action on the same games. We're talking about it, man. It's fun. It's fun. It's fun when you win, and it sucks when you lose, but at least you can commiserate together when you lose. This is why we do this. There you have it. An old Ike, man, creating a group chat in his green text. And not only to create a chat, he wasn't creating a chat. He was taking credit. He was like, look at me. I hit both those bets. Yeah, but when I asked you what you were doing, Ike, you said, I don't know. I haven't even thought about it. Haven't thought about it. It's Thursday morning of a Thursday night game. You got to at least think about it. Yeah, well, I won.
Thank you.
Look at me. I'm Ike Ritt. I'm Ike. He did all caps, too. All green caps. Look at me. Look at me. I'm Ike Ritt. All right, James Kelly, we do that once a week. Every once in a while during the week, he will jump in with a bonus thought or two. So he will tweet that. I will retweet that. And let's see how it goes. It's going to be a tough weekend. Big Head Bets brought to you by me. Sponsored by me. When we come back. Still ahead, I've got Cameron Bynum. Vikings-Packers, huge game. We talked about that with the head. Who you got? Who do you like in that game? Great matchup. Darius Slay is coming up in hour number 3-2. Speaking of WinBet, and notice he had a good number, the plus 2 at WinBet. Are you ready to win some money and boost your odds? WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia. We are bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports. From basketball, baseball, hockey, golf, tennis, and most importantly right now, of course, the NFL and college football. Tremendous promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WinBet. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we've got exactly what you need. Log into WinBet right now. See all the latest football lines, including that Monday night matchup between New York and Tampa Bay. Bucks have lost 2 in a row, man. I'm going to be talking about that on the NFL Today also. Are you ready to play? Sign up right now. Get a special offer, risk-free, $1,000 sports bet. Download the WinBet app. Or go to WYNNbet.com and start winning. The offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. You do have to be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So we talked about a number of the matchups. It's going to be a big, big NFL weekend and a big college weekend. Saturday, 3:30 Eastern, the SEC on CBS is in Tuscaloosa. Number 25, Arkansas, is going to try number 2, Alabama. Our afternoon of college football gets underway at 2:30 Eastern with the Drive to Atlanta presented by Mercedes-Benz. Followed at 3 by State Farm College Football Today. Another big matchup coming your way on Saturday in the SEC on CBS. You really should not at Big Head with any of your skepticism or hate. He's more you than he is us. He's half clone. He thinks the same things are funny that you think are funny, which generally are not. But he's good at it. So let's see. Let's see how it goes. Do what you want. Also, one thing, don't parlay a bunch of these things and then blame us. Notice we did not talk about parlaying any of it. Do so at your own risk. Jimmy, if you want free money, you're taking me over Big Head even while giving up 10.5 points. Regards, the English language. I like that the guy's functionally illiterate. I can tell you every school that every member of the XR4TI attended except for him. Because I'm not sure he made it out of the ninth grade. So I don't bring it up. But like I said, man, he's got that street sense. He's street smart, this guy. Ben Smack. The Big Head is so right about Nagy. And to take it further, he's only crying about the taunting because the Bears are ass. And they're always the ones being taunted. War Big Head takes. CJ in LA. Yeah, I don't know. I think that Nagy's got a lot more to worry about than taunting and the impact and effect it's having on our nation's youth. Dude, you're doing way more damage getting up there behind a microphone and singing about penis and Cracker Jacks. That's way more damaging to our nation's youth. There you go. Your on-field product is more damaging to our nation's youth. But did I or did I not say that I'm taking them plus 4.5? I did. I hate myself for it too, but do what you hate. All right, so quickly, episode 198 of the Jim Rohn podcast dropped earlier this week. And I want to say, like the 197 before it, it was a banger. Or more accurately, in this case, an enforcer. Two-time Stanley Cup champ, Sean Thornton, was my guest. He played 14 years in the NHL, 20 years overall. And as you know, I am always here to hype pucks, either here or on the original Side Hustle, just as you know that Bella B loves when I talk hockey. She does, Alvin. She always has. Anyway.
I love when you talk hockey.
Thanks for doing that today, Alvin.
I love when you talk hockey.
I can't imagine that was a hard one to find, Alvin.
I love when you talk hockey.
Yeah, that's it. Play it five times to make up for it. I guess y'all make up for it now. Now, anyway, Sean Thornton played 14 years in the NHL, and over that time, he became one of the league's toughest, most intimidating guys. He played over 700 NHL games, logged over 1,100 penalty minutes, got his name on the cup with the Ducks in 07, and then again with the Bruins in 2011. Yes, there are tougher gigs in life. Sean would be the first one to tell you that. But there is nothing easy about having to drop gloves in every single arena in that league in order to earn your checks. But he earned that tough guy rep long before he ever hit NHL ice. Then again, he really wasn't even sure that he would get anywhere near the NHL to begin with. In fact, the day he was drafted, he literally didn't believe it, which led him to tell his new GM, the GM of his favorite childhood team, to F off.
I wasn't there, for one. I don't even know where the draft was. I was golfing with my buddies in my hometown of Oshawa, and then we went back to my house to grab a case of beer, actually. I had a case of beer in the basement, and the phone rang, and it was Bill Waters, the GM. I didn't believe him, so I told him to F off. And then my agent called back on the house line. Nobody had cells back then, right? So called back on the house line and said, no, that was actually Bill Waters that you just told to go F himself. You just got drafted by the Toronto Maple Leafs. I couldn't believe it. I wasn't expecting it. Being a Toronto kid, too, it was something special. So they sent me a jersey and took a picture in the backyard, but I wasn't actually at the draft because I didn't think I was getting picked.
Sean, right. It's no wonder you never played a game for them, right?
I think he actually appreciated it. Knowing Billy a little bit over the years, like, I think he actually appreciated it. No, I wasn't rated. I talked with one scout and he said, maybe I'll be able to try and do something for you. I really, like, the last thing I was expecting was that phone call.
You got to love that in the NHL, telling a GM of a franchise, your new boss, to F off qualifies as a good first impression. And to his credit, Sean knew what he was and what he was not. He knew what he could improve upon, and he knew which limitations he had to accept. Most of all, he knew they were paying him to patrol, enforce, and intimidate. And yes, drop gloves when necessary, whether he wanted to or not. That's the life of an enforcer. He may not have loved that aspect of the gig. I mean, who loves getting punched in the face? But he did have a job to do, and he was going to do it to the very best of his ability.
I learned to embrace it, not saying it was easy, right? Like, the last thing I wanted to do is go out and fight 6'7" monsters in Minnesota on a Sunday afternoon. But it's a means to an end. It's a great living, like you said. I mean, I wouldn't give any of it back. I wouldn't change a thing. I mean, maybe try and make it to the NHL a little quicker than what I did. But other than that, I wouldn't change a thing. There's way worse jobs in the world than what I was lucky enough to do. So I try not to complain about it. It was a decent job at the end of the day, but one of the tougher ones. Like I said, I boxed since I was young, started jiu-jitsu my last 4 or 5 years of playing. I used to, you know, other tough guys I played with used to wrestle with after every practice and work on different techniques and how to switch and not get hit and do all these things. So I was a pretty technical fighter. As far as getting into the mind space, I had a routine during the day that I stuck to that got me into a pretty good spot where I could play the game, but also be ready that the fisticuffs were going to happen. I could flip the switch on pretty quickly.
All right, so let me just interrupt this thought really quickly. This is why I do that side hustle. This is why I have a podcast. This is why, unlike a lot of people, I didn't do 5 or 10 and then quit. We're coming up on number 200. These are great conversations, and they just need space. They need to breathe. They don't work as well here on the daily. This is why I have the side hustle, the Jim Rohn podcast, for conversations like that. Like, don't confuse being an enforcer with being a goon. You don't last 14 years in the NHL solely on a willingness to drop gloves. You have to have some skill to be there that long. You have to be able to help your team in other ways other than just dropping the gloves. You've got to be strong in the room. He was all these things. Oh, and did I mention Sean Thornton was a 2-time Stanley Cup winner? I've always said that winning the Stanley Cup is the single toughest thing or championship to win in any team sport. And every time I say that, it pisses everybody off. So I put the question to Sean, and of course he's biased, but he does a much better job of arguing that point than I ever could.
I do think it's the hardest trophy in sports, and purely for the fact of the physicality that's in the playoffs and the frequency of play. I mean, you know, you play every other night for 2.5 months straight, and I don't think there's another sport that's like that. I mean, football, they play every week going into it, and it's a very violent sport. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from them, but the fact that we're playing at that level every other night and what guys play through by the time they get to the finals is actually remarkable. You dream your whole life. I'm Canadian. We grew up playing street hockey and ice hockey. Every time we were playing for something on the street, it was pretending to win the Stanley Cup. Like, it's all you dream about. And then for that time in Anaheim, all the sacrifices, all the work you've put in, it's an accumulation of every little detail coming to fruition in one instance when you get that trophy and get to put it over your head for a quick, I think, 10-15 seconds. But everything you've ever been through, all the hard work, it's finally worth it in that very moment. And the Bruins one probably meant more to me because I was a bigger part of the team, played more meaningful minutes, had been in the organization for 4 or 5 years. So that one meant a lot more, but the Anaheim one was the most exciting.
All right. So like I said, do you or do you not get quality hockey talk on this platform, this brand? Finally, on that issue of fighting in the NHL, I mean, this has been debated for years. Now, to me, the fact is, and I'm open to it changing, but the fact of the matter is, the next time somebody walks out of an arena when a fight starts will probably be the first time. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that the sport is better for it or that the sport needs it. In other words, is it time to revisit the issue? I put that question to a guy who spent 14 years doing it and getting paid for it.
It's gotten to a way better place. I use it as my foot in the door, you know, 100% fighting 30 times a year in junior, 30 times a year in the minors. That's what got me noticed and got my foot in the door. And I don't know if anybody will have that opportunity again with where the game's at. You could debate on whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I will say, as a guy that had to do it, I was not a fan of there's somebody on the other side that had 300 minutes the year before is whatever, 6'4", 230 pounds. And it's my job for no reason to go out and just square off with him in the first shift other than to, you know, prove who was a bigger or better man. I never understood and never appreciated, but you did it, right? Like, that's where the game was at and you had to do it. Some guys just wanted to get it out of the way early, and if you did it early, they wouldn't take liberties on your teammates, and there's reasons to it. But I was never a fan of the so-called, in quotation, stage fighting. But the game is a 200 by 85 game. There's no out of bounds. They're moving fast. It's a violent sport. It's a beautiful sport, but it's also a violent sport. Body contact, those guys are quick. So I always think there'll be a place for fighting in the game, whether it's with enforcers or without, just because if not, the pressure cooker could explode without it.
And that's always been one of the arguments, that if you don't have it and if guys can't blow off steam, and I'm not saying that you have to accept that, but that is one of the arguments for it. If you don't have it and guys are not allowed to blow off steam, you have this pressure cooker. And then it explodes. And if they can't do it with their fists, then they might do it with the butt end of a stick or a blade or something else. So this is another example of, quote, an enforcer being one of the more thoughtful guys you could talk to. It is such a great conversation. A lot of NHL tough guys do not get a good rap or a fair rap. In my experience, a lot of enforcers are a lot more thoughtful than the other skill guys playing the game. He's a good example. Like, he gets it on every single level, mental, emotional, physical, technical, because he had to. That was his edge. That's what kept him in the league 14 years, not just his fists. So there's a lot of that. What you want to do, that's only a small taste. Go track it down. Wait until after we get off the air today, but track it down this weekend. It's a really good episode. Episode 198 with longtime NHL enforcer Sean Thornton. He's got a brand new book out that's really interesting. And if you're looking to hear my conversation and our podcast, you can find it wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify. It's on my Twitter feed, anywhere else you get them. But that's another great, great long-form conversation. My original side hustle, the Jim Rome Podcast. Look for it. All right, when we come back, you want to call right now. If there's something you want to talk about, this is the segment to do it, because I have two interviews next hour, and it's going to be a really busy third hour. Hit me up right now, 1-800-636-8686. Here is a sports update for you. Here is Rich Ackerman.
Sports Flash.
And Jim, this report is sponsored by 5-Hour Energy. It's the one when you got to get stuff done. Drink it in seconds, feel it in minutes, lasts for hours, tastes great too. 5-Hour Energy. Everything worked out for Cam Newton this week, and he will be starting at quarterback for the Panthers on Sunday after working with the first team all week. Kyler Murray will be a game-time decision for the Cardinals because of an ankle injury. DeAndre Hopkins has been ruled out due to a hamstring. Meanwhile, Jared Goff hasn't practiced all week for the Lions and might not start Sunday. Dallas Goedert can start early on his holiday shopping after getting a 4-year extension from the Eagles. That puts him in the top three at his position in terms of annual salary. The deal contains $35 million in guaranteed money. The Phoenix Suns started the season 1-3. They haven't lost since. They go for their 11th straight tonight against the Mavericks, whom they beat on Wednesday to extend the streak. Luka Doncic is doubtful after missing Wednesday's loss with a sprained ankle and knee. The NBA's best team, the Warriors, are in Detroit to face the Pistons, who have the second worst record in the East. Kevin Durant sitting down for the first time this year. The Nets go for back-to-back wins tonight.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Lots of different things going on today, and I understand that too. Listen up. Not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old fashioned. Teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags so you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? Almonds. That'd be mine right about now. All right, so I've got Cameron Bynum coming up next hour. Darius Slay coming up next hour. Phone lines are open right now. Top of the hour may go to Alvin in the ATP. This is the time to dial in. This is going to be your best and only chance. 1-800-636-8686. John in Buffalo reacted to the Sean Thornton sound. He said, quote, "The enforcers are the nicest guys in the league. So much class, thankful, and giving back. Rob Ray is still a big part of the community." Something to it. Like, I don't want to give away the entire conversation, but I did say to Sean Thornton, what are you most proud of? 20 years professionally, 14 years in the NHL. What are you most proud of when it comes to your career? And he won 2 Stanley Cups. And he said, essentially, what I've given back. He's got a foundation that's really important to him. And I think you're right. A lot of these guys, I mean, a lot of athletes give back, but you're right. A lot of enforcers are known for that. And I don't want to give away the conversation again, but I did mention to him, I said, it's really unusual to me, but not so much so. But talking to you, Sean, you're obviously a very cerebral guy, very thoughtful. And I look back on some of the other enforcers I used to talk to in the NHL at the time, like Stu Grimson, definitely, the Grim Reaper. He wrote children's books. He was a great dude. I mentioned Marty McSorley. McSorley obviously was fierce and a tremendous enforcer, but he was also the team's rep. So when we were talking lockout issues, I was always blown away by how deep and steeped he was in all the language of the lockout. I'm like, man, this dude's like a lawyer almost. But he was Marty McSorley, intimidator, out there protecting 99. Remember Dave Semenko prior to that? It's a different life, the life of an enforcer. I thought that was fascinating what he said. When the thing, I understood my job. I didn't like that part of the job, but I had a really good overall job, so I did what I had to do. He said the thing that I didn't really get, though, was why I had to drop gloves in the middle of an afternoon against Minnesota or in Minnesota early in the game just to show who the tough guy was. He goes, that didn't make sense to me. But then again, if I could get it out of the way early on and that meant that they would not take liberties with my guys, I would do that too. So you have the whole enforcer code, something totally different. But if you want good quality hockey talk, you know where to come. Go find my side hustle. All right, so if I told you before the start of the NFL season that a player was going to be accused in a newspaper of possessing a fake vaccine card, who would you think that would be? What player would you pick? In fact, I don't even think I need to ask. I wouldn't have had to even finish saying fake vaccine card before somebody would have buzzed in with Antonio Brown. Like, literally, before I could finish the question, I bet most of you would be shouting Antonio Brown. You would have finished saying Antonio Brown at the same time I finished saying fake vaccine card. Because of course that guy was going to be the center of a story like that. Of course Antonio Brown would be accused of attempting to buy a fake vaccine card. It's like the most obvious thing ever. I'm not surprised that that story is a story that dropped. I'm shocked it didn't drop sooner than it did. Now, before I get into the details, let me just say this. Just because it's been alleged does not mean it's true. Just because everybody saw this coming and exactly zero people are surprised doesn't mean that it's true. Just because somebody probably even found action somewhere and hit the under on week four of how long it would be before Antonio Brown got busted with a fake vaccine card does not mean these allegations are true and that it happened. But if it were true, would that surprise anybody at all? I'm just saying that, of course, this is the guy at the center of a fake vaccine card story. Of course, he's the same guy who managed to get frostbite in the middle of summer. The same guy accused of buying fake vaccine cards would be the same guy who tried to sneak back onto the practice field with the Raiders in his homemade helmet. And of course, it's his former live-in chef who's making the allegations. If Mr. Big Chest is going to get outed for having a fake vaccine card, best be damn sure the accusation is going to come from his former live-in chef. Oh, and a former live-in chef who alleges that Brown owes him money. So, of course, that guy's got an axe to grind. But Brown owing him money, if he does, also is not a surprise. AB owes a lot of people money. More on that in a minute. Really quickly, the team did issue a statement in regards to this. Quote, after an extensive educational process conducted throughout our organization this past offseason, highlighting the benefits of the COVID-19 vaccines, we received completed vaccination cards from all Tampa Bay Bucks players and submitted the required information to the NFL through the established process in accordance with league policy. All vaccination cards were reviewed by Buccaneers personnel and no irregularities were observed. End of quote. Remember, Bruce Arians has been very proud of the fact that 100% of the team and team personnel have been vaccinated. However, AB is one of the few Bucks who has been infected with COVID this season. He missed a game three or a week three game as a result. So, allegations of a fake card. He did have the virus. He missed a game. In response to that report, his lawyer said that AB is vaccinated. A spokesperson for the chef said that he told the Buccaneers about two other players who also have fake cards. The only thing better than the former chef trying to derail AB's season is that the former chef has his own spokesperson. Man, it is all so predictable and awesome. And this much I do know. AB would be a hell of a lot better off if he actually paid people for services rendered. I'm not saying I'm okay with him having a fake card if he does, but it doesn't come up probably if he paid his bills. This was the chef who back in 2019, or there was another chef who claimed that he was owed 38 grand. There was a trainer who was owed 7 grand. There was a marketing company that filed suit over not receiving a commission on $2 million earnings. There was that accusation that Brown attacked a truck driver over a payment dispute that resulted in criminal charges against Brown and a civil lawsuit. What I'm saying is this guy's got a reputation for not paying bills, allegedly, and a reputation for doing shady bleep, allegedly. Of course, people not getting paid are going to drop a dime on him or maybe even make bleep up. Now, what does it all mean? Does it mean that he used a fake vaccine card? I have no idea. Would it be surprising if he did? Not at all. There's a part of me that's interested to see where this goes. And there's a huge part of me that would be thrilled to never, ever talk about this guy ever again. Was there really once a time where we thought that this guy was not only the best receiver in the NFL, but one of the best dudes with one of the best feel-good stories ever? Further evidence, we don't know any of these guys. Except AB. We do know him now. He's a non-bill-paying fake vaxxer, allegedly. Listen, my guy has never been a great decision maker. And if you decide to work for him, you're probably not a great decision maker either, given how many non-payments for services rendered have come up.
Business is booming, my
But brother. My point is, A, I don't know if it's true or not. B, is there any surprise that he's the one who's in the middle of it? And C, it ain't helping the Bucks, who've lost two in a row. And now they have a Monday night game against the Giants.
It's not helping.
One of my topics on the NFL Today coming up on CBS, Sunday noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, Tampa Bay. Are they in trouble or not? How much trouble are they in? I do have thoughts on it, and I'll get there. Looking at my call screen, do we have time for one call? Not really. Coming up next segment, I will have time for a call or two. Coming up next hour, Alvin's Week That Was, the ATP. A conversation with Minnesota Vikings safety Cameron Bynum. Philadelphia Eagles cornerback Darius Slay makes his return to the jungle.
Early and often, Slay.
He had a big game last week, so I want to bring him back. 1-800-636-8686. You are running out of time. Also, if you want to hit me up on Twitter, that works too. Hit me at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. I retweeted the Big Head Bets, James Kelly's action. So if you want to try and follow along, maybe participate, look for my tweet or his tweet. The picks are up. All right, so hour number three coming up. Open phone segment next. Alvin's Week That Was probably coming up early. And then Cameron Bynum and Darius Slay after that. Stay tuned.